Well, what would it take for you to try a nice, cold, refreshing glass of recycled water? To be precise, that's water that's been reclaimed and purified from wastewater. Does it sound refreshing or revolting to you? Or have you already sampled some and didn't taste the difference? Lots of people joining in on this. 0418226576. Tim in Bellingen says, "Hi Andy, I would drink recycled water. I did for the first 23 years of my life back in the UK. Get over it, folks. It's just oxygen and hydrogen." And on the other end of the spectrum, this text says, "Andy, drinking recycled water? Mm-mm. Book me into the Virgin Galactic. I'm leaving." What about you? Would you drink recycled water? 0418226576, or you can tweet me at RN Drive. Apart from the Antarctic, Australia is the driest continent on Earth, but the purification of wastewater for drinking hasn't really ever caught on, has it? Seems to hit a bit of a stumbling block, so to speak. Toowoomba famously flushed the idea in 2006, even as it stared down the worst drought on record. So people would prefer to go thirsty rather than drink recycled water. But according to a case study by engineering group Uricon, a proposed facility in Greater Melbourne could produce water that's cheaper and purer than desalinated water that you've been already paying for. So if it was cheaper and more pure than desalinated water, would that change your mind at all? It might when you open your water bill each quarter. Professor Stuart Kahn from the Global Water Institute at UNSW is here to clear a few things up. Professor, can you just tell me a little bit more about this purification process? I mean, what's involved here?
Yes, sure. Thanks, Sandy. So you're talking about taking water from a wastewater treatment plant, a sewage treatment plant. So you have all of the treatment processes at that plant, which conventionally are things like biological processes that break down contaminants. If you have a really advanced sewage treatment plant, such as the Eastern treatment plant that's been looked at in this particular case study, then you might have additional processes on top of that, things like ozonation and activated carbon for removing additional contaminants. And then you build what's called an advanced water treatment plant, which takes the water from the wastewater treatment plant and really does purify it, as we refer to it as purified recycled water. So there are lots of different technologies that are used to do that. But some of the most common and the ones that have been most commonly looked at in Australia include things like reverse osmosis, so high pressure membranes, the same types of membranes that we use in our seawater desalination plants to push the water through and remove contaminants that way, as well as oxidative processes for breaking down other chemicals that might be present, and intense ultraviolet radiation for numerous things, but primarily for making sure that we target any bacteria or viruses or other organisms that might be present that might be a concern for people. Then usually chlorine disinfection. And then the water would normally, in most cases, go back to a reservoir where you might have the natural treatment processes that go on in a reservoir. And then as it comes out of that reservoir, it would be treated at a conventional drinking water treatment plant again. So the same way that we would normally treat raw drinking water from any other catchment, with often including filtration and always including chlorination. So we refer to it as having multiple barriers, and there really are multiple barriers in this process.
And Stuart, you've been advocating for the consumption of drinking recycled water for a long time, but this is kind of one of the first case studies where what's different is the cost. I mean, according to this study on this Melbourne, kind of case study, the unit capital cost equates to $7.4 million per megalitre of purified recycling water, compared to $10.9 million per megalitre of production capacity converted to 2021 costs. All this means is it's actually cheaper. Do you think this will convince people?
Yeah, so that's in comparison to seawater desalination. So, yes. So we often find that both the Capital costs, the construction costs for a recycled water scheme can be lower than a desalination scheme. But very importantly, also the operational costs, the amount of energy that we have to spend to both treat the water and transport the water is often less for a recycled water scheme. And that has a direct impact, of course, on what customers pay for water. If you're producing water at half the price as you otherwise would, then obviously water bills will be significantly lower, and often the energy footprint is lower as well. And so the amount that you might be spending in offsetting carbon emissions with green energy is lower as well, because you're not using as much energy, and therefore you've got less movement that you need to make in terms of trying to offset carbon towards zero carbon emissions.
I mean, this is all contingent on the infrastructure provider passing on that cost, but it's a pretty compelling argument. On RN Drive, would you drink recycled water if it was cheaper? Would that convince you? The text line 0418226576. This text says the bulk of the Windsor-Richmond area is drinking water from the Hawkesbury River, which is mainly treated effluent at times. Okay, righto. This one says, while it continues to fall incessantly, from the sky, there's Buckley's chance of me drinking recycled water. Plenty of people getting onto it too, saying, cheers, I'll drink it. The water we drink now could have gone through the kidneys of many dinosaurs and early human ancestors. Get over it. I mean, Stuart, the kind of idea of bringing in recycled water has had a sort of checkered marketing history, if you like. What happened in Toowoomba when a similar trial was proposed, when it was during one of the more serious droughts?
So there are lots of examples and lots of cases we can talk about in Australia. We can start with Toowoomba. In Toowoomba, in 2006, the Toowoomba City Council put together a proposal to build a purified recycled water scheme. At that time, and Toowoomba is seen as a case study now of how not to go about engaging a community for purified recycled water. Number one mistake was, at that time, they were in the heat of a drought. It was the millennium drought. It was an emergency. Toowoomba was running out of water. And that's the worst time to have this conversation, because this is a conversation that takes time, and the community needs time in order to understand what you're talking about here, what we're planning on doing, and to ultimately build some confidence in the concept. So one, it was done in a rush. Number two, probably the biggest crime in Toowoomba is that a lot of the planning was actually done in secret. So the Toowoomba City Council
people smelt a rat sort of thing.
They applied to the Commonwealth Government to fund this scheme, with it all sort of spelt out around how it would work, and the community hadn't heard a thing about it by that point. So yes, they didn't go through the process that is required to build the trust and have that conversation openly with people about where we're heading and why. The very conversation that we're embarking on now. But there are other experiences that I think are worth talking about, and one of them was in the first text that you referred to there about the Hawkesbury Nepean system, Windsor and Richmond in Sydney, which is where I live very close to. And that's an example that we see in many places around the world and around the country, where we discharge treated wastewater into rivers, in this case the Nepean River. It flows 10, 15 kilometres downstream, and lo and behold, there's a drinking water treatment plant that's taking water out of that same river and treating it and distributing it as drinking water to customers.
So we're already doing it, and I wonder if it's any cheaper. I mean, in that instance, I suppose the infrastructure provider's been pulling water out of that river for a long time anyway. So, I mean, is there any tangible cost imperative with that example?
Well, it's done because there have been droughts that we've been through in which the water would cease to flow in the Nepean system if we weren't providing that treated effluent going into the river. So it's a very important contribution to keeping that river flowing.
Okay.
I think there another one of your texts referred to London. There are 280 sewage treatment plants that discharge into the Thames River Valley that provide flows in the Thames, which becomes part of London's drinking water supply. So yes, we're already doing it. And in fact, the terminology that we often use, we refer to it as de facto water recycling. It may not have a certificate. We may may not call it, it may not be acknowledged as recycled water, but the fact of the matter is, it is water recycling.
Okay. I've got plenty of more questions and texts, but we won't have time for all of them. However, I do want to ask you one question. Hormones are highly biological and they're active even at low concentrations, according to this text. But it's not something that we see talked about when we talk about recycled water. Can you remove the evidence, so to speak, of people's contraceptive pill? Does that sort of get removed in the process?
And I'm very comfortable talking about that question because that's what I did my PhD on 20 years ago. And yes, we know that hormones are a big issue in wastewater, in sewage that's discharged into waterways. If it's not treated properly, we do see environmental impacts on fish. However, we now have more than 20 years of research from all over the world, some of it from Australia, but heaps also from the US and Europe, showing that the advanced treatment processes that we're talking about, reverse osmosis, ultraviolet, advanced oxidation, are very, very effective for removing and breaking down these hormone compounds. And we can actually do tests after the end of the treatment process that test for hormonal activity. So you don't even have to know necessarily what hormones might be present, but you can test cells to see if there is an effect from hormones on those cells.
Okay.
And we can see very, very clearly that the treatment is very effective from removing those contaminants.
Look, I'm convinced. I'd try it. I'd try it live on radio. You should bring in a glass of recycled water once and we'll try it in the studio. I guarantee that it won't be a stunt. I'll try it for real. Stuart, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it.
That's Professor Stuart Khan from the Global Water Institute here on RN Drive. He's from UNSW.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.